Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Man, God's good, isn't he? So, I'm going to be 100% honest. This is like my least favorite part of me ministering. It makes me really, really anxious getting up here and doing the transition between worship and the message. And thank you. Thank you, Travis. While I was trying to figure out what to say during this time, I was really pushing into God of what that should be. And to be 100% honest, or what I felt like God was telling me to share is a little bit about my week. Justin knows about it. He came and helped me on Friday. Come Tuesday of this week, I did not know if I was going to be able to minister this Sunday, because there's a lot of stuff that happened on Tuesday specifically that I called Dad even, and I said, hey man, I need you to be ready just in case. And I came in to work on Wednesday morning. I left the church completely out of sorts. My mind was boggled. I was in a place where I was like, man, I feel so defeated, and I feel like I just screwed everything up at the church. And I came home, and my wife comforted me. She's really good at that. She told me, it's all going to work itself out. You're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. I was like, yeah, you're my wife. You're supposed to tell me that. Thank you so much. And I went into work Wednesday morning, still in the same exact place, like so much anxiety and stress that it made my stomach upset. Like I'm sitting in the media booth working on stuff and I feel like I'm going to throw up almost. And I went into work and I was talking to my mom, and I'm talking about what I want to minister on if I minister on it. And I realized that what God had given me was something so important. I'm not tooting my own horn about my message or anything. Please don't feel like I'm doing that. But I felt like what God was telling me was important for where we're at right now as a church. And my mom told me, she goes, don't let the devil take from you what God has for you. And I feel like a lot of us are in that place right now, or could be in that place, where we're like, we're on the cusp of something so great, so amazing that God has already put in store for us, that he's already made for us, but we're letting the devil take it from us. Exactly. Boo. And I realized the devil can't take from you what God has already given to you, but he can put it on hold for a little bit. And he can only put it on hold for as long as you let him put it on hold. Mom says something. She says, the devil can only have a foothold in your life where you let him have that foothold. As soon as you yank that foothold out from underneath him, he has nowhere else to grab onto. He has nowhere else to put that hold in your life and to hold on to what God has given to you freely, that he's already said, this is yours. The devil has no control over that place. The devil has no control over what God has already given you. He's beneath us. He has no control over that. Amen. So I don't know what area of life that may be for you. For me this week, it was stress. It was anxiety. If you struggle with stress and anxiety, say, God, I give it to you. That's what I did Wednesday. I said, God, I give it to you. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what is in store, but God, I give it to you. And I came in Thursday morning with Justin, and it had completely resolved itself. I don't know how it happened, but I turned to Justin and I said, man, I'm so sorry if I brought you out here for nothing. But what was cool is we actually got to further what we were doing initially. We got to upgrade things, and stuff is running better than I could have ever imagined. And that's the power of our God, is to say, you know what? This stuff that you're worrying about, I'm going to take that from you and I'm going to solve it for you so that you can focus on what I'm advancing you towards. You just got to give it to me, right? So whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with this morning, I encourage you, give it to God. Don't let the devil have that foothold anymore in your life. And God is going to see that you will get the gifts that he has promised you. The things that he has promised you, God will bring you to it. Just take that foothold from the devil and say, you have no more control over that. You have no more control over my life and the gifts that God has for me, because I'm reaching for it and I'm grabbing a hold of it. Amen. All right. Dear Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us all here safely. Lord, we thank you for what you have for us this morning, Lord. I pray that you are able to make our hearts ready to receive, God. Lord, we thank you for everything that you're going to do in this place. Lord, we pray over those footholds that the devil has in us. God, we pray that you help us to take those away from him so that we can pursue the things that you have for us, Lord. God, I also want to take time and we want to pray over our Israel family. Lord, we know that they are your chosen nation. We know that they are your people, God. And we know that the attacks that are coming against Israel will not stand, God. We know that you have destined them to be a nation for you that points to you. Father God, I pray that you will bring the miracle that you are bringing forth from Israel right now, from the attacks that it's receiving, God, I pray that it will be a sign and a witness to who you are, and people come to Jesus because they see how good you are, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray over, I just want to pray over Richard Frieden right now. Lord, I pray that you give him wisdom to operate in Israel the way that you see fit. That he is a lighthouse for you, that he is a vessel for you, that he is the salt that you have commanded him to be, Father God. Lord, we pray over the safety of Israel. And God, we thank you for the wisdom for our government to do what they need to do, and for Israel's government to do what they need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everybody, let's give it up for our worship team really quick. They did amazing this morning. I'm so thankful to be a part of that team. It's great. So while you guys are sitting down, we have a quick video announcement for you. So if you would, turn your attention to the screens, please.
Coming up Sunday, April the 21st at 5 p.m., we are going to have our first ever Passover celebration, which is a Seder dinner here at the church. And Kelly is the one who is putting that all together and planning it for us. And you've had a heart to do this for years, and you finally are getting to run with this. So, Kelly, can you just tell us a little bit about why you're so passionate about this and what people can expect when they come to the Seder on April the 21st?
Absolutely. So, I love the feast because when we first learned about them, it was what blew open the doors for us to have a closer relationship to Jesus. It made Jesus this tangible person, and it revealed so much more of what he actually did through Passover. And I have always just felt like anybody who wants that, that's where you get it. And I want that for so many people because it just blows the doors off of your faith. It's just so good. So we get to have dinner, and it is not to be intimidated, because I think a lot of people get intimidated by Passover. You don't have to be Jewish. It's just an honoring of the feast, and it's so fulfilling. And
I love that, Kelly. I love your heart so much. So people can get onto Church Center and get a reservation, get your ticket to come to the Passover celebration. Kelly, thank you so much for all you're doing for that.
I'm excited.
It's awesome. Hey parents, we have an exciting opportunity. Every month on the last Sunday, we have what we call Young Servant Leaders, YSL. This is your kids' opportunity to come and serve in the church that we want them to feel like is their church too. There are tons of unique opportunities and places for your kids to volunteer. My kids have personally done this several different times. They choose a different place every month, and they've loved every one of them. We would love to have your kids sign up and serve. This month's Youth Servant Leaders is on April 28th. The sign-up deadline is the end of the day on April 21st. You can sign up in the newsletter or on your Church Center app. If you go to registrations, there's a place that will take you to sign up for YSL. Hope to see your kids there.
Hey men, I'd like to invite you to our men's night May 14th. We look forward to seeing you, and I know that Travis and his team have something special put together for you that evening. May 14th, we would love to see you. Mark your calendars, and we'll see you then.
Ladies, do you like good food? Do you like good company? Do you like chit-chatting? Well, of course you do. And if you do, you're going to want to be at the Women's Tea Party on April the 20th. It's at 9 a.m. That's a Saturday morning. And we would love for you to be here because the Women's Ministry team has come up with a really special event for you guys. To get more information, be sure to stop by the activities desk in the hospitality area. And you can sign up on Church Center. You're going to need to register ASAP because spots are limited and your time is limited to get signed up. So get signed up today.
Wow, that is a lot of teams. Holy cannoli. Worship, sound, media, prayer team, ushers, guest services. Do you want to serve with kids? We've got a spot for you. So if you want to learn more information about serving a certain team within our church to build community and relationship with one another, it's a great opportunity. You can get information at the activities desk to pick up one of these pamphlets and get signed up to be a part of our community within our church.
Do you guys enjoy those videos? They're all right. I ask that because I'm the one that's in charge of making them and filming them and everything. And I like to hear that you guys actually enjoy them. So that's cool. Give me just a quick second. I got cotton mouth so bad. I apologize. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for water. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. How is everybody this morning? Awesome. My first order of business that I want to take care of, and I do this every time that I minister, because it's important to me. I want to take time to honor our pastors this morning. Mom and Dad. Mom is in California right now ministering to our Kingdom Ranch family there in Merced. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to give both of them honor. Thank you guys so much for everything that you do. Thank you for answering the call that God has put on your lives to come and start in 3C and for being faithful to what God has given to you. So if we would, could we honor our pastors this morning? Next order of business, I want to welcome our online family and our Kingdom Ranch family in Merced. Thank you guys so much for watching this morning. Thank you for being a part of our N3C family. We know that y'all aren't in-house this morning, but still, thank you so much for being a part of our family and inviting us into your homes and into your church this morning. We love you guys. Let's give it up for our online family as well. All right. Okay. I think I covered everything. If you guys don't know who I am, my name is Rhett Gleghorn. I am the product of Pastors Darren and Lynette. It's an honor for me to be up here this morning. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to minister to y'all. I love being able to do this, and I am thankful that Mom and Dad keep asking me to come back because I don't know why they do, but thank God that they do. So with that, let's go ahead and just jump into the message this morning. Does it sound good to everybody? Amen. All right. So it all started back in 2001 when I was born. I'm kidding. All my life, I have just really loved music. From the time that I was a little guy, I remember riding in the truck with my dad, and he would play a game with me. He would reach up to the radio because we had one of those radios that was like a screen that shows the artist and the song. Dad would reach up and he would cover the radio and he'd say, "Who is it?" And we'd listen to like Prime Country, the Y2 Country, Willie's Roadhouse, and all these different old country artists. And I can name you just about any one of them just based off of the sound of their voice. I mean, it is good stuff. Praise God that I was raised that way. I don't dress like I was raised that way, but hey, you know what? We're here. Play me a Willie Nelson song. I can tell you based off of the
Sound of his voice.
But I've had a passion for music all my life. And I didn't really know what to do with it. I mean, I wanted to play an instrument. I wanted to be able to sing at some point in time. And in sixth grade at my school, they offered a beginner's guitar class. And I saw this as my opportunity to live out my dreams of being Eddie Van Halen. And I decided to take the class. I decided to learn guitar. And I did. Wasn't very good at it, but I learned. And I didn't really take it very seriously whenever I first started playing. And it wasn't until eighth grade when they offered the class again that I took it and I actually started to get serious about playing, that I actually enjoyed it. I found a satisfaction in being able to play because I could actually play some things at that point. And then after I took that class, an opportunity arose for me to join the worship team. And joining the worship team was a life-changing experience for me. Not only did it change my walk with God, it changed my relationships, the way that I approach my relationships. It changed the circle of people that I surround myself with. And it was a really, really cool thing for me to be able to do. And whenever I joined the worship team, God grew my passion for music to not so much just a passion for music. He grew it to a passion for worship. Because initially, whenever I started, I just thought it'd be cool to play my guitar. Like, yeah, I'm just being 100% honest. I was like, I get to play my guitar. I get to look cool on stage. I thought it was just a cool opportunity. Sounds a little conceited, I know. But God worked on my heart a little bit, and he changed it from a passion for just music to a passion for worship. And what I realized is that I wouldn't have found my passion for ministry, my passion for worship, if I wasn't willing to serve. Serving opened the door for me to grow in ministry, and it's been a way for me to not only grow in my walk with God, but it's been a way for me to be able to minister to other people as well, which is a really cool thing, right? So if y'all would you go ahead and turn to Matthew 25? And this morning, we're going to be jumping back and forth between Matthew 25 and a couple of other scriptures. So go ahead and put a mark, fold a page or something. I don't know. Don't fold a page in your Bible. I don't think that's good. You may lose a crown in your, or a jewel in your crown in heaven for folding a page in the Bible intentionally. I'm joking. Y'all are quiet this morning. Y'all must not know how I operate. I love whenever you guys talk back to me and give me feedback. Like, Jeff, yeah, I like it. It lets me know that you guys are listening and not sleeping on me. So we're in Matthew 25, and at this point, Jesus is telling the disciples a parable. And you may have heard of this parable. It is called the parable. It kind of varies based on your Bible. But it's the parable of the talents or the parable of the three servants. Those are the names that it kind of varies around. So we're going to start in verse 14, Matthew 25, 14. It says, again, heaven's kingdom is like the wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, and to the third a bag of 1,000 gold coins, each according to his ability to manage. The one entrusted with 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded with the money, and he doubled his investment. In the same way, the one who is entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After much time had passed, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. Let's pray really quick. Oh, sorry, guys. Excuse me. Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for getting us all here this morning, Lord. God, we thank you for what you're about to minister to all of us this morning. God, we pray that our hearts are receptive to it. We pray that we are willing to listen to what you have for us this morning. Lord, I pray that you are able to communicate through me, that you are able to give me the right words to say, Father God. And everything that is from my flesh, Lord, I pray that it falls on deaf ears, and everything that is from you, it is heard and it is planted like a good seed, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So in this verse that we just read, we see the master of these servants give them an investment. He invests into them. He gives them a gift, if you will. And two of the servants do what we would see as the right thing. They go and take that investment that they were given, and they go and invest it, and they make more off of it, right? And then we see the one servant who does what he thinks is right, and he completely ignores the investment that was made to him. He takes it, he buries it, and he puts it in the ground, and he hides it. Does nothing with it, right? The way that I see this scripture and the way that I see this parable is kind of like the gifts or the things that God has given us, the abilities that God has given us. And what I think about is, are we going to be the two servants that took what was invested into them, that took what was given to them, and are we going to do something with that? Are we going to do something with those gifts and with those abilities? Or are we going to be like the one servant and ignore that gift that God has given us? Are we going to take it? Are we going to hide it? Are we going to not do anything with it? For me, the gift and the ability that God has given me, I don't want to say that I know for sure, but I'm pretty solid, is music. And I think about that gift of music. It stemmed into a bunch of different things. It's not just music anymore. It's creativity now. It's a passion for worship. Mom and Dad and Lacey have told me that I have a gift of speaking, I guess. I don't know where that came from, but I guess I'm an all right communicator. That must be why they keep asking me to come back. But I think about all the other gifts that are in this room that God has given y'all. I think about the gift of hospitality, making people feel welcome, making people feel like they're at home. I think about the gift of being technologically minded. One person that I know that is Justin. Whenever he came and helped me this week at the church, it is incredible how his mind works, how he's able to just put things together in his mind, and he's able to track down solutions with technology. It's amazing. Maybe other people in here are musically minded. Maybe other people in here know how to be creative. They're creatively minded. Or maybe you're really good at talking to kids and teaching kids, right? Hold on, I got something in my... All right, I think I got it, hopefully. I keep feeling that tickle, like I got a beard hair or something back there, and I'm like... But I think about all the gifts that God has given everybody in this room. And I think about what each of us have been given, and if we're doing something with what God has given us, right? And whenever I was coming up with this message, I had the title in my head, or what I wanted to call it, and that is a response to our abilities. And quite simply, the best way that I can say this is that it's our responsibility to respond to our abilities. Amen? It's our responsibility to see the things that God has given us, to seek those out, and then to do something with them. Amen? Amen. So how do we respond to the abilities that God has given us? Quite simply, for me, and what I feel really strongly, is that it's serving. I believe that serving is the best way that we can respond to the abilities that God has given us. Our church here at N3C is based so, so solidly on serving. And to make sure that I wasn't just making a baseless fact, I asked Mom some questions. And I kind of got down to the roots of where our church started. Mom started serving at a ministry before she and Dad got married or were even dating. Mom served at a ministry, and she served this pastor, or the lead of this ministry. She would take care of his house whenever he was gone. She would clean out stables. She would take care of his horses. Whatever he needed, Mom was there to serve. Dad was the exact same way. He served a pastor that would go and do rodeo ministry. He'd ministered to the riders behind the chutes, and he would just carry his Bible. He would get him water whenever he needed it. Whatever this guy needed, Dad was there to serve him. Well, then Mom and Dad came together. They got married. Thank goodness they did, because they gave me life. They came together. They got married, and they still stayed in that same vein of serving. They would go to rodeo Bible camps. They would go to different ministries, different churches, different pastors, and just serve them in any way, form or fashion that they could. Well, in Mom's words, one day, while they were doing over the road ministry, one day the phone stopped ringing and they didn't know any other thing to do but serve. So they called some pastors down in Colorado Springs, and they basically told them, they said, "We just want to come and serve y'all. Whatever that looks like, if we're cleaning toilets, if we're sweeping, if we're maintaining the church, whatever that is, we just want to come and serve you." And the pastor said, "Come on." So Mom and Dad come, and instead of having y'all serve, if I'm remembering this correctly, instead of having y'all clean toilets or anything, they made y'all associate pastors, right? Yeah. So Mom and Dad were associate pastors at that church for a little bit. And then the pastors sent them to Northern Colorado to start this church now. That's cool. And I think about Mom and Dad's willingness to serve wherever God called them to. I think about the ability for them to start with little. Mom worked in a back office putting together magazines. Dad was carrying around this pastor's Bible in a dirty buck and chutes in the back of the arena. They started with the littlest thing, and God grew them and he advanced them to where they're now pastors of a church. From a small little back room in a hotel in Fort Collins to a barn to now where we have our own building, right? So let's go back to Matthew 25. And we're going to pick up where we left off in verse 19. It says, "After much time had passed, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. The one who was entrusted with 5,000 gold coins came and brought 10,000, saying, 'See, I have doubled your money.' Commending his servant, the master replied, 'You have done well in proving yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you have been faithful to steward, you have been a faithful steward to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, enter into the joy of your Lord.'" Verse 22 continues and says, "Then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, 'See, master, I have doubled what you have entrusted to me.' And the master goes on and he basically says the exact same thing to the second servant. 'Well done. You've been entrusted with a little. I will now put you in charge of much more. You're a good and faithful servant,'" right? The New Living Translation is really cool how it words this also. It basically is saying what we normally say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful with the little, I will entrust you with more now." God wants us to be faithful with the little things. God wants us to be faithful with what he's given us, the abilities and the gifts that he's given us initially. And then once he sees that we're faithful with those things, that's whenever he starts entrusting us with more. He saw that Mom and Dad were faithful with serving in the little capacity that they had. And then he saw them grow and made them grow to where they could have the ability to pastor a church, to be able to found a church, to what it is now, to lead people in the capacity that they can now, right? What are we doing with the abilities and the gifts that God has given us? Are we responding to our abilities? Our response to our abilities is servanthood. And our abilities should be used to serve God and to serve people around us, right? If we aren't responsible with the gift that God has given us initially, how can we expect Him to entrust us with more? Right? Mom and Dad didn't trust me with a super nice car whenever I first started driving. They trusted me with, it was a nice car, but it wasn't no truck that I'm driving now. Praise God. I was dumb at 16. I probably would have blew out the transmission of the new truck and it would have cost more than the old transmission of my old truck. But thank God that He is able to see us through whenever we are entrusted with something and we are doing something with our gifts, God will advance us to the next steps, right? If you would go to 1 Peter 4, or you don't have to go there. I can just read it for you guys. Write it down. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Continue to verse 11. It says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to Him forever and ever. Amen. Our abilities and our response should always bring glory to God. Amen. That is what God wants us to do with our gifts. He wants us to be able to bring glory to Him, to point people towards Him with our response to our abilities. And our response is serving, right? God wants us to be able to serve in a capacity that turns people towards Him and say, hey, there's something different about this cat that's serving. He loves what he does and he is faithful with what he's serving with. There's only one person that this points to, and that's God, right? That's what our response should do for each and every person, or to each and every person that we come in contact with. A lot of the times what I hear whenever serving is brought up is, how do I know where to serve? And that's a really important question, I think. You're not wrong for asking it. You're completely right in asking, I don't know where to serve. Where do I even start? I feel like Romans 12 verse 11 gives us a great points us to the right direction of knowing where to serve. Romans 12:11 says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. I believe that the best way to serve is to serve where you're passionate about. Right? Man, y'all are quiet today. Do we need to get up and do jumping jacks or something? Coach Ryan is back there. I'll make him come up and do shadow boxing with you guys. We are supposed to serve where we're passionate about, right? I think the best way to find where you're passionate about, if you're sitting in here and you're like, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm passionate about, is letting the Holy Spirit guide you to that place. Letting Holy Spirit take you to the place where you're passionate about. Usually where you're passionate about, and I say usually because I can't speak 100% of the time that this is the case, but usually where you're passionate about is where your gift is also. Sometimes it may take a little bit of time to figure out where your passion is. And that's okay. Some people get it right off the bat. Some people, it takes a little bit of time. And that's okay if it takes you time to figure that out. My encouragement to you is, don't get discouraged with finding what you're passionate about, finding where to serve. Don't be discouraged. It took me, whenever I started serving around the ages of 9 to 11, I think. And I joined the worship team whenever I was 14. So it took me a good 3 to 5 years. I got better at math since the last time I ministered. It took me a good 3 to 5 years to figure out where God was calling me to serve. And during that time, I had served in a lot of different areas. I think I served in just about every area of ministry in this church, besides the security team, because I don't do good in under pressure situations. I'm going to leave that to the professionals. I've served in kids' church. I've served in the media booth at kids' church. I've ran sound here. I've ran the media booth here. I've done hospitality. I haven't driven the golf cart either because, like Mom said last Sunday, I apparently think I can drift. I'd probably spill out people from the back of the golf cart. But I've served in a lot of different areas of ministry in that 3 to 5 years until I came onto the worship team. During that 3 to 5 years, what kept me going is knowing how much serving, whenever I found my area that God was calling me to, how much it was going to change my life. That's what kept me going all that time. And whenever I found where God was calling me to serve, it changed my life. So much to the point where I couldn't imagine my life without being on the worship team. And not just being on the worship team, but being able to worship in a capacity to help other people enter into worship as well. It also has changed, like I said, it's changed my relationships. It helped the start of, I was on the worship team with Rachel before I even knew Lacey. I mean, I was growing a relationship with my sister-in-law before I even knew my wife. That's pretty cool how God set that up, I think. I mean, you guys are like, Yeah, I had an in, which it's true. It's funny how much I had an in. Praise God for that. Lacey wouldn't have probably married me because I was weird. Ask about the root beer story whenever I get done with this. If you want to hear it, ask about the root beer story. That'll show you how weird I am in our first interaction with each other. It was bad, man. It's a wonder that she said yes whenever I asked her to marry me. Whenever I found my passion to serve on the worship team, serving became less of a chore, a quote-unquote chore. And as bad as that sounds, it's the reality of it. Whenever I was serving in kids' church, I mean, God bless you guys who serve in kids' church. Wiping babies' butts and stuff, yeah. You guys are awesome. God bless y'all who serve in kids' church. But for me, I would wake up and I'm like, I was not excited about it. And I didn't find that excitement until I found where I was passionate about. Serving in any form or fashion is important, but serving where you're passionate about is so important to your longevity in serving, right? In our church, there's numerous opportunities for y'all to serve, for y'all to get involved somehow. We have a media team, we have a sound team, we have a prayer team, we have a kids church team, we have an usher team, we have a security team, we have a worship team, and probably a ministry that I'm forgetting, welcome team. There's so many opportunities for y'all to be able to serve. But maybe you're in here and you're like, I don't know if that's where I'm supposed to serve. And what I encourage y'all to do is to talk to leadership about that. An example that I mean by this is Tommy and Ashley Martinez. They saw a need for a food pantry. They saw a need for us to be able to reach out to the community and say, hey, if you guys are in need, if anybody's in need, we're going to open our doors for whoever needs it to come in and get groceries for completely free. We just want to love on you like Jesus does, right? They saw a need. They came and talked to Mom and Dad about it. And they did what they were called to do. And now so many people have been touched and ministered to by the food pantry, which is amazing. So many people. And I think about that, and I think what I think is so cool is that Tommy and Ashley said, we don't have this right now, but I see a need for it, and we want to fulfill that need. And whenever they did that, they didn't come to Mom and Dad and say, hey, here's a ministry idea, do something. They didn't walk up and throw it in Mom and Dad's lap and say, hey, we see a need for this. Here's that. Do something with it. They said, we see a need for this. What can we do? What can we partner with the church to do in order to fulfill this need? Amen? Amen. We have the liberty to do that. I hope it's okay that I'm saying that. I'll gladly take responsibility for it. If you feel like you're being called to serve in some sort of form or capacity that maybe we don't have yet, come and talk to leadership, and we want to champion that. That's what we're supposed to do as the church, is we're supposed to champion Jesus reaching people that we haven't been able to reach before. That's the whole goal of the church, is to reach people that are maybe not going to come in through the doors of church, but they'll listen to somebody that's walking through Greeley, that's sitting at a restaurant, and they say, hey, can I buy your food and tell you about Jesus? That's what we're supposed to be doing, is reaching people that may not come through the front doors of this church. We're supposed to be ministering all the time. And I encourage y'all, if you see a need for something like that, talk to leadership. We'll figure out a way. Okay? Or we'll point you to the resources to do it. We're here to champion that. We're here to encourage the spread of the gospel, not inhibit it. Right? I cannot stress to you enough how important it is to serve where you're passionate about. It almost burned me out serving where I wasn't passionate about. But thank God I found where I was supposed to be, right? If you find your passion, you have to maintain that passion. And whenever you maintain that passion, you'll maintain your servanthood as well. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into your passion, and let the Holy Spirit stir that passion on the inside of you. And whenever you find your passion, seek the Holy Spirit and let Him fuel your passion. Right? The big thing is whenever you're seeking the Holy Spirit and you're letting Him fuel your passion, Holy Spirit does a lot. It's a lot easier to maintain your passion with the Holy Spirit. But we have to put in some legwork as well, right? We can't just let Holy Spirit take it for us and let Him be the magic key or magic formula for us serving. We have to do something as well. We have to give something to the Holy Spirit to work with and to run with. For me, I find inspiration in Bible verses. I find inspiration in watching other people serve, watching other leaders, in seeing how passionate they are for what they do. And I see that and I'm like, man, I really need to be more passionate. It lights a fire under my butt and kind of gets me back in gear a little bit. Another thing, and hear me whenever I say this, I'm not trying to be conceited or trying to be, tooting my own horn, I guess. But using words of encouragement and words of affirmation to fuel what you do. There's a guy here at church, I'm not going to point him out for embarrassment's sake, but it seems like he comes up to me on the Sundays where I feel like I did awful in worship. Like, I could not catch a chord to save my life. I could not find a melody to save my life. I forget words. The whole nine yards. Every Sunday that I feel like that, he comes up to me and he says, thank you for what you do. Thank you for the worship team. Thank you, worship team, for what you do, for being faithful to where God has called you, and thank you for helping us enter into worship. And I use those words to give me that fuel. I say, those Sundays, I'm like, should I really even be on the worship team? I suck. But then he will come and tell me those things, and I'm like, God, thank you, because you have me right where I'm supposed to be. Thank you for giving me the passion that I have to be able to do worship and to help others be led into worship. I guess the most important thing is let God have those words. Don't take them and try to do it with your own flesh, because then it will become conceited and you'll probably start to think, man, I am it. You ain't it, Bubba, I can tell you that. But through God, through Him fueling that passion, through Him fueling you with those words of encouragement, it turns into a thing where it's not conceited. It's saying, I have you right where you're supposed to be. You're doing well. You're doing what I've called you to be. Right? So use those words of affirmation. Use that encouragement to fuel your passion for serving. Using our gift to serve and create disciples is so important to our walk with God. That's what we were charged with. I believe it's in 1 Peter where it says, go and make disciples in my name. That's what we're charged with. And whenever we serve, whenever we respond to our abilities, when we're called to be, when we are being the servants that took the investment that was given to them, that's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be those servants that were given that investment, that were given a gift, and they went and did something with it. That's what God is calling us to do. Amen? All right, I have another scripture. Can anybody guess where it's going to be? 25. There we go. You guys are catching on. Going to have to change up my strategy next time. So we read about the first two servants. And now we come to the third servant who took his gift and hid it and didn't do anything with it. We're going to start in verse 24. It says, then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins came to his master and said, look, sir, I know that you are a hard man to please, and you're a shrewd and ruthless businessman who grows rich on the backs of others. I'm going to pause really quick. If you're employed, don't say these words to your employer. If you're hoping for a promotion or a raise, maybe don't tell your boss that he's a shrewd and ruthless businessman that gets rich on other people's work. I'm surprised this dude didn't get fired on the spot. I mean, he kind of did. But continuing, the servant continues and he says, I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your money and buried it in the ground. But here it is. Take it. It's yours. But his master said to him, you're an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew I was a shrewd and ruthless businessman who always makes a profit, why don't you deposit my money in the bank? Then I would have received it back with interest when I returned. But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give them to the one who has 10,000. For the one who has will be given more until he overflows with abundance. And the one with hardly anything, even what little he has, will be taken from him. That's harsh. That would be terrible to hear coming from a master. I would hate to get to heaven and hear those words. I would hate to get to heaven and God say, you did pretty darn well, but you could have done so much more. If you had taken the gift that I had given you, if you had responded to the abilities that I had given you, you could have done so much more. I want to hear what the first two servants heard. Well done, good and faithful servant. You did so good. You did exactly what I had called you to do. You took the gifts that I had given you. And you did something with them. You served. You responded. You created disciples. You told people about my son Jesus. You did what you were called to do. That's what I want to hear whenever I get to heaven. Am I the only one? I want to hear that whenever I get to heaven. I want God to look at me and smile and say, you did awesome. I'm so proud of you. I want to bring more people to Jesus with my gifts. Everybody in here should. That should be our goal as Christians, is to be able to minister to people and show people the love of Jesus with our gifts by serving them. So I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close with this. Kevin, if you want to come on up. When Robbie Dawkins was here, he had a saying. And he named one of his books this. He had it on his merch, on bracelets, on sweatshirts, on t-shirts. And the phrase was, do what Jesus did. Jesus did a lot of things. Like, a lot. Jesus ministered to people. He did miracles. He did healings. He cast out demons. I mean, Jesus did it all, right? But what was the basis of what Jesus did? Was serving. Jesus served all the time. And if you don't believe me, I did my homework and I brought evidence to back this up. In Mark 10:45, it says, for even the Son of Man did not come expecting to be served by everyone, but to serve everyone and to give his life as ransom price for the salvation of many. And we're called to be more like Jesus, right? I did my homework again. I brought evidence. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For he knew all about us before we were born, and he destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of his son." To share the likeness of his son being Jesus, to share his likeness means to be like Jesus. And to be like Jesus means that we have to love and we have to serve the same way that Jesus did. Right? Jesus gave us a roadmap to serving. Whenever Jesus came here to share the gospel, he didn't just talk about the gospel or talk about his salvation or tell us to serve. Jesus showed us what it was like to serve. He served everybody he came in contact with. Jesus backed up. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. Amen. He gave us a legit roadmap. Now, he could have just came to earth and said, "You guys got to serve," and we would have to be obedient because that's God telling us what to do, right? But instead, he came to us and he said, "Here's what you need to do. You need to serve. Now let me wash your feet. You need to serve. Now let me show you what it's like to obey my mom and make wine for this wedding party." Right? He showed us how to serve. He gave us a roadmap to it. One of my favorite quotes of all time, it came from St. Francis of Assisi. And he says, "Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words." Preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. What does that mean? To me, whenever I hear that quote, I always think everything that I do, everything that I go about my day, I need to be emulating the actions of the gospel. I need to be carrying that out with my actions. It can't just be the words coming out of my mouth that are pointing people to Jesus, because words are faulty. Words can be empty sometimes. But if I'm acting upon those words, if I'm acting upon what Jesus told me to do in the gospel, if I'm showing people the salvation of Jesus through my actions, that is what servanthood looks like, is serving people or showing the gospel through our actions. And then when it's necessary, we use words, right? If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Walk it like I talk it, right? We need to let our actions and our servanthood be what points people to Jesus, not just our words. We need to use our gift to serve. We need to respond to our abilities. We need to have the response of servanthood, right? And whenever we serve with the purpose of bringing God glory, we show the love of Jesus, and we show what servanthood looks like. We spread the gospel with those actions. We spread the gospel whenever we serve others. Amen? So Dad is really, really good at this part of the message where he gives us points. Dad usually gives us like the 8-step. One of my favorite messages that he did was the 8 steps to repentance. And he did that fairly recently, I think back in November or something like that. It's a good message. You should go listen to it. Dad is really good at giving us those points, those 5 points of blank, 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 or the 5 R's. And I tried so hard to be as cool as my dad, and I couldn't. I wanted to give you all the steps to serving, and I got so far as one single step. That's all that I could come up with, because everybody's walk in serving looks so different. So do you guys want to know the one step? The one step. Are you ready? It's pretty profound. I wrote it down and my computer started sparking and smoking. I was like, "That's heat right there." No, I'm kidding. It's not a fire hazard at my house, I promise. The one step to serving is to just start. Just start. That's all it takes, is just starting. Pretty profound, right? Just start. A lot of the times, I think that serving within a church or serving within a ministry can kind of look like a quote-unquote good old boys club. Has anybody felt like that? It's okay if you do. That's totally fine. But what I want to encourage y'all with today is that serving is not a good old boys club. You don't have to be asked to serve. You don't have to be initiated. You don't have to have a checklist of qualifications that means that you can serve. I would recommend that if you serve on the worship team, you maybe know how to play an instrument or sing and or slash sing. I would recommend that maybe that's a requirement for the worship team. Also, if you want to serve with kids church, we do background checks. That's the only thing you got to pass. It's the only test, you know. But there's not a qualification list for you to serve here at church. All it takes is for you to step out and say, I see a need, I see a call on my life that God has put on the inside of me, and I'm going to answer it. That's all it takes, is to just start. Just see the need and answer the call. Heed the call. One of our favorite brands is Howler Brothers, and their slogan is Heed the Call. Answer the call. God has called each and every one of us to serve. That's the charge that He gives us, is to serve, right? That's all we gotta do, is just answer it. Just start. It's our responsibility to respond to our abilities, right? We have to respond to the abilities and the gifts that God has given us. We want to be those two servants who took what God, or what the Master gave them, and do something with it, to grow it. Amen? Use your gifts and your passions to spread the gospel, and serve to spread the gospel. Serve with the purpose of bringing God glory and turning people to Jesus, to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen? So I want to do something that's a little bit different. And I didn't talk to leadership about this or nothing. But if I could I have the leadership teams either stand or raise your hand, please? Prayer team, if you would, raise your hand. We got worship team here. I know this is a little bit awkward for you guys. I apologize. What I want you guys to do, we got media back here. We got sound. Chris is right here. We got Ashley and Tommy. We have Brianne. I want you guys to take a look around at the hands that are up. We got Rashad and Quinice back here. These people are your leadership. These are the people that are in charge of these teams. What I encourage y'all to do is to take note of who has their hand raised. And if you feel that stirring on the inside of your gut, if your butt's been on fire this whole time, that's a sign. If you have a pit in your stomach and you're like, man, I really feel like there is a call that God has put on me, I just have not answered it yet. That's okay. Make today the initiation of that first step. Just start. What I encourage you to do is to go to one of these leaders and say, hey, I want to serve on such and such team. They're going to point you in the right direction. If you don't know what teams we have at church, we have cards out here on the activities desk. We have cards back here at the tithe table, I believe, and cards at this little table over here. They have all the ministries on them. I encourage you guys to go grab one of those cards and just give it a look and say, God, where do you want me to be at? Follow where that passion is leading you and start serving where your passion is. And if you're in that place where you're like, I don't know where my passion is, I encourage you to serve passionately somewhere. Amen. So I'm going to give you all some homework, if that's okay. I know I hated homework whenever I was in school, but this is good homework. Because not only are you going to start serving somewhere and start serving people and answering the call that God has on you, serving is going to change your walk with God. It's going to put it on a fast track, pretty much. And it is so cool to be able to serve and to be able to serve other people, because you're getting to experience what Jesus did. You're getting to do what Jesus did. Amen? All right. Well, let's pray and we'll get y'all out of here. Sound good? Dear Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all here, Lord. Thank you for giving us the ability to serve, the ability to do what Jesus did. Lord, if there's anybody in here that is saying, I don't know what it's like to serve God, but it sounds pretty awesome. It sounds amazing. God, I pray that you will just begin to work on the inside of their heart. God, I pray you've already started working on them, God. But God, I pray that they will begin to want to seek you more. If you're in here and you have that, you're in that place where you're like, man, I want to know what it's like to be in relationship with God. I want to know what it's like to serve God. I'm going to ask you to do something brave, and I just want to ask you to either raise your hand or just look up at me. It's just me. I'm the only one that's looking. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I gotcha. Welcome home. Welcome home. Man, thank you, God. I always turn into a baby at this part because it's so amazing to see somebody coming home, coming back into God's kingdom. Now, if you're in here and you say, I know what it's like to serve God, but I haven't been serving him like I should. I know that I'm saved. I know what it's like to serve, but I just need to come back home. I was like the prodigal son where I knew what it was like to be in God's kingdom and I knew what it was like to serve him. But I've had my fun. I've walked around. I've done my thing. And now I need to come back. If that's you, I encourage you to look up here at me. And if that's you in this place, if you need a little bit of encouragement, I'm going to raise my hand because I'm in that same spot. I do it probably every Sunday. I mess up a lot. And if that's you, welcome back. God's welcoming you. Everybody who looked up here, everybody who raised their hand, God's saying, welcome home. He has open arms. He says, I'm so glad that you're coming back to me. Or, I'm so glad that you've come to me finally. That's so good. Thank you, God. You're so amazing. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your mercies that follow us each and every day. We thank you for your, just for your love for us. God, we thank you for it, and we are so, so beyond grateful for what you did for us, giving us your son that was sacrificed on the cross so that we could be in relationship with you, that we could serve you, that we can serve those around us, God, from your heart. Lord, we thank you for all these things. God, we thank you for those who are brought into your kingdom for the first time or have came back. God, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know who is maybe feeling like this. Maybe you're sitting in here and you're like, man, I shouldn't be allowed to serve because of my past. I shouldn't be allowed to serve because of what I've done. If God can call Saul to serve him, to create disciples, that's a pretty amazing thing. Your past is not what defines you. Your past is not your future. And if you're feeling like you need to serve, but you're letting the enemy, that goes back to what I was saying a little bit ago at the beginning, don't let the enemy have that foothold. Don't let the enemy take that foothold and say, you aren't worthy enough to serve. Don't you remember what you did? Don't let the enemy say that, because it's not true. And if you're in here and you accepted Jesus for the very first time and you're saying, I don't know if I can serve because of my past, the sin is wiped away. You're clean. You have a clean heart that's put on the inside of you. And God says, I don't see you for your sin. I see you as my child now. I've separated you from your sin. I've put your sins as far as the east is from the west. Come and serve me. Serve my people. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything, but I encourage you, give it to God. Say, Lord, I give you my shame. I give you my guilt completely. And I ask for you to encourage me in this and set me up so that I'm able to serve you 100% with everything that I am. And don't let me be distracted. Don't let the enemy disqualify me for my sin. And I promise you that he will remind you who you are. He'll remind you whose you are. Amen. All right. In Jesus' name, amen.